Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. So. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Remember him? He's back in the hot seat. He invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself at the start of a Senate hearing, and Republicans spent the next 3 hours battering him with questions and allegations as he sat in silence. What's next? Here's the Mark Cox Show.
I don't understand it. I don't understand how they can see a million Americans die from dangerous research funded by the government and not be upset about that, not want to get to the bottom of that. So they complain they didn't have records. I have put all the records on an internet site for committee members for a year.
Fox News star Griff Jenkins with us again this morning. And man, you're on the front lines of history every day. Can I just tell you that?
It really is such a privilege. That was a clip from me interviewing Senator Rand Paul at the center of one of the most important hearings of recent memory with Dr. Anthony Fauci. And then this morning, my repertoire broadened to the 90th birthday of the Wienermobile and also the walking epaulette sharks that I got to walk on live television. So, you know, they call that range, I suppose.
Yes, you get the full range.
Very nice and very well handled, of course. You know, I heard Paul on there, and of course, he was great yesterday in that hearing, as I fully expected. I thought our Missouri Senator Josh Hawley just about stole the show, though, by just pointing out how ridiculous this was. What day is it? What color tie you wearing? Fauci repeats the same thing 111 times.
Well, that's exactly right. And he totally did steal the show, with exception of the second place star being Senator Bernie Moreno, yeah, who said what we're all thinking. but Hawley is so effective, and he's very good at that. Because I watched the entire thing, because I knew I was going to be talking about it. And when Hawley got up there, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what he does. And, you know, while it was comical when he asked him what day of the week it is, what color his tie is, what color the rug and the floor is, in front of you, it really drove home that not just that he was claiming the Fifth because he's worried about, you know, perjuring himself and all that stuff. It drove home that the face of the coronavirus response, as the Wall Street Journal aptly calls today the pandemic oracle, Dr. Fauci, is totally escaping any accountability for his handling of the pandemic.
And
you know, Americans are not happy to see that he's escaping it. And the fact that he was not even willing to engage a question like the color of his tie, it just perfectly encapsulated how much he is unwilling to be accountable. Not that he was going to be accountable for, you know, incriminating him for something, which of course is part of the story based on what we know in the diaries. But just the at one point, I really thought Rand Paul had a great moment. He said, I'm going to give you one last time to apologize, to address the American people. And yet he couldn't bring himself to do that.
Griff, I don't know what was more troubling, his taking the Fifth and not hearing from this guy who has never met a mic he didn't like, right? We had to listen to him in nauseam during the pandemic. Now suddenly he has nothing to say. But the Democrats on the dais, I mean, on the committee, who were trying to chastise the Republicans for trying to get to these answers, like, was there gain and function research? Was there, you know, the efficacies of the vaccines? Why did you lie to us about those? You know, all of these really important questions, should we ever have to face this again? They were chastising the Republicans for bringing him in and saying, well, we need to move on. We need to look forward. We need to worry about monkeypox or whatever. I mean, wasn't that just almost equally as offensive that they did not take this seriously?
Absolutely. And look, you know, for the guy that has been their hero for so long, there is a actual duty on lawmakers in the capacity of oversight to at least find the questions. And you saw Senator Fetterman sort of do his own sort of reflection, which didn't really go anywhere. But I like that he's a Democrat. He's like, okay, I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to, you know, go after Fauci and threaten to put him in prison. But yet I'm going to reflect as the lieutenant governor at the time of Pennsylvania on sort of my handling on it. And you know, maybe Dr. Fauci would like to reflect on some things. And to be honest, he was in the center of it. He was the face of it. From his diary, we know he cared more about his star recognition and fame, but But there's got to be some lessons that he has from that that would prepare us for the next pandemic. God forbid we should have to deal one. And you would have thought there would have been at least one Democrat that would have said, listen, I want you to step outside of your Fifth Amendment and the questions that my Republican colleagues are asking. But what lessons can you just tell us that we should learn? But they didn't. They went on soliloquies to heap praise on him.
Here's more on Fauci from Tara Servatius.
DOJ uncovering $350 million in fraud across the Southeast. Just the latest in theft from the American taxpayer. Supposed to shut up and take it. Speaking of shutting up, I want to wrap the week of Fauci lies, gloriously and shockingly uncovered, with this. Because it's just a cautionary tale. I dug this up, seeing as I'm on my third YouTube account. And, you know, as I lost the first and second YouTube account, you lose it on the third strike, by the way. So I talked you through each of my strikes. And every one of my strikes came from me saying something about COVID or COVID-related or shot-related that ended up being true. So I'm now on my third account. I don't expect that that YouTube account will last very long. Here's ex-YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki at the time. And she's doing an interview with some pointy-headed liberal reporters saying, look, we got all these vaccine deniers, mask deniers. You know, some of them seem to be virologists from Harvard and Stanford and Oxford. Anyway, they're idiots. They're not listening to Fauci. What do we do about these people? YouTube CEO says, well, we're censoring them as fast as we can. We've taken down more than a million videos. Here she is, and this is back during the Biden administration when Fauci was at the zenith of his power and his lies.
It's been one of my top priorities, and with regard to COVID and with regard to vaccines, that has been a top priority for us. We have a number of different ways that we address that. So first of all, we want to make sure that if there's information that violates our policies, we came up with 10 different policies around COVID, then if that's a violation of policies, then that's something that we'll remove. We removed over a million videos associated with COVID.
Videos? Honey, you took both my YouTube accounts for saying true things. Who were you working with? You know, as the YouTube CEO at the time.
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, yeah, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
Oh, okay, Fauci, yeah. And the reporter asked, well, like, what are you doing? We're trying to understand these vaccinating hesitant people. What is wrong with them, Susan? Susan says she doesn't really know. She just takes down their videos. The whole time, Anthony Fauci had a vaccine injury and was hiding it. We really know about this because of his diary. Here's RFK reacting in shock to this week.
He got vaccinated, a very, very public press conference in January of 2020. And then he had, and this is the first time that we knew this from the diary, he had a pulmonary infarction, which is one of the adverse events that NIH, CDC, and FDA said are expected from the vaccine. He never told anybody. He got treated for it privately by the best doctors in America. At the same time, he was telling everybody that that was not an adverse event.
By the way, a pulmonary infarction is not like a bruise or something that goes away. It's when part of your lung dies due to a blood clot, which they said the shot didn't cause. But turns out it did. Well, now we know, thanks to RFK and Ron Johnson's investigation of this in the Senate. He's got a whole committee dedicated to it. We could have saved him, but YouTube was too busy censoring their videos. How many deaths in VAERS again, Senator Johnson?
But early on in March and April, because I was concerned, I was following VAERS.
How might we have known? YouTube videos. Oh, but the CEO took them all down because Fauci said to. Dang, that's so bad. Here's, think how many lives we could have saved. This is why censorship kills. Here's Ron Johnson. He's had 2 months of hearings on the dead, those infected with cancer. It's an absolute disaster. Had people from the London School of Medicine all over the world's foremost virologists, who now are allowed to speak on YouTube somewhat. And he's asking CNN's Manu Raju, like, why won't you cover this? Why do you keep asking me about Iran? I'm having shot hearings. All these people are dead.
Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN's not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
Yeah, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021 that their algorithms were hiding safety signals on 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Can I say, anyway, I'm sure that was your question. You're trying to ambush me. But no, I would ask you
me ambush you.
No, so
do you hear that? 25 serious cardiac and other side effects of the shot. Did you hear which one he mentions? Senator Ron Johnson? Pulmonary infarction. Exactly what Fauci had. Part of his lung died. He covered it up. Hit it.
One of Fauci's critics in the pandemic era was Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis. But was DeSantis almost Trump's vice president? Here's more on Meatball Ron. DeSantis from the Annie Fry Show.
I will say that in a case like Ron DeSantis, when his wife, Casey DeSantis, was going to run for governor, I thought that was completely fine because
she's running.
She was running. And she actually looks like she's not going to be the governor because
she never ran.
Byron Donalds. Oh, she dropped out because she wasn't.
She never declared.
Oh, I thought she had declared, but she just never really got any traction.
No,
but I'm probably wrong. But I know that she was talking about it, or they were talking about it. And then didn't do it. But that, to me, is the way it's supposed to go, is you say, well, maybe throw my hat in the ring. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
Or if you lose, you lose.
Because if the people do want to, if people were like, Ron DeSantis is termed out, Casey DeSantis would be a great fill-in for, we want that. The people, she shouldn't be withheld from the people of Florida in order to do that. She did not, I'm looking it up here on Google. Served as a close political advisor and media strategist for her husband, addressed persistent rumors about a potential run with ambiguous public statements, but never mounted an actual campaign.
She never did it. Okay.
No. Which, to me, a lot of it is there a groundswell of support? And if, you know, I truly believe that Ron DeSantis's national runway still exists very comfortably, and anything that he does to poke at or prod at Donald Trump's stranglehold on the Republican Party right now is it for him. There's no way that anyone can say, like, if your position on Ron DeSantis having a future in Republican policy politics is that he is DOA because he has challenged Donald Trump in the past, you have not yet met Vice President J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance called Trump Hitler. And it's a PowerPoint now for Donald Trump to talk about how he changed his mind. I mean, think about the ability for President Trump to change people's minds if their minds are open. Also, understanding that President Trump's initial introduction to American politics, after having been known as a widely loved and respected and envied real estate tycoon billionaire playboy of sorts in New York City, but known in the entertainment space by all the nooks and crannies of that world. They loved him. He ran for president as a Republican. They made up a whole bunch of crap about him. And there are a lot of people who still cling to complete and total lies as their foundational understanding of who President Trump is. J.D. Vance has come out and said, yeah, I said that stuff. And I was wrong. And I had my opinion changed on it. Marco Rubio, Lil Marco, small hands, blah, 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 over and over and over again. Marco Rubio went head to head to tell the American people why Donald Trump was not the right person for the job in 2016. And he is, according to President Trump's own word, the most successful and effective Secretary of State this country has ever had. That's things that he said right now. So to suggest that Ron DeSantis is out on the outs for good is you're not paying enough attention. That doesn't mean that Ron DeSantis couldn't make stupid decisions, but putting Casey DeSantis in that race when Byron Donalds is the one who has been endorsed by Donald Trump, I believe, in Florida, but kind of the guy who is being supported by the mass movement. It just seems to me like that would not be something that they would want to do. But if you let people talk about it and keep asking you the questions about it, what's it hurt?
Theoretically, if Ron DeSantis had not run for president in 23-24, do you think that he could have been a VP pick? I know they're from the same state, so I don't know if that would have run into anything.
Yeah. But I think he'd have been a great VP pick.
But do you think Trump would have actually seriously considered him? Because I think they got along really well up until they were, with their adversaries for a little bit.
But I think that anything is possible. I don't feel like Trump's number one thing is loyalty. And loyalty is kind of a funny thing because he wants it. If he doesn't have it from you, but he can earn it from you, he's open to that. So you can be on the other side of an issue and go toe-to-toe with him. Good grief. He had Mark Cuban in the Oval Office, and they were championing together lowering the cost of prescription drugs, which is something that Mark Cuban separately had been spending time and effort on trying to make prescription drugs more affordable for American people. And he and Trump see eye to eye, and they basically both joke the entire time about how ridiculous it is that they're working together on an issue. But they were both big enough to say, let's do something together on this issue that we both care about. The Democrats don't do that.
Let's wrap things up with Bob Rose and his smoking gun.
Shared conversation links on Anthropic's Claude AI assistant were discoverable through Google searches and results over the weekend. Now, this is exposing potentially sensitive user discussions. Cybersecurity News reports that a discovery posted on Reddit this weekend revealed that hundreds of shared AI conversations became publicly accessible. You know, things that included legal advice, engineering work, personal discussions. Yeah. So, you smell that? Those are your privacy rights. Going up in smoke!
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.